I guess I could turn my mic on there and go live. Not sure what happened there. I thought I hit the microphone, but I might as well do my intro again. That hasn't happened in a while. I did get me a new mouse, and it's a little sensitive, but normally I just click the microphone button to go live there, so I'll go live again. Welcome, everyone. This is Stephen Roberts on Cancel the Cabal, peoplesinternetradio.com, and PSN Radio. I did, and I do need to do something again because there it goes. And I'm also on PSN Radio, thanks to Angela Espino. But it's been a while since I messed up like that. I did get a new mouse, as I mentioned, and it's a little bit sensitive. I thought I clicked the mic talk, lock talk, on my SAM broadcaster. But it is March 14th, 2017. Just past 5 p.m. here in the Eastern Time Zone of America, and just past 9 in Ireland and Scotland, and the UK and elsewhere. I did want to mention, I did say when I thought I was live there a minute ago, we've been having some weird weather patterns. And of course I get an interruption on the cell phone. We've been having some weird weather patterns here in my area, Southwest Michigan. Less than 2 weeks ago, it was almost 70 degrees, 70 degrees Fahrenheit. Not real sure what that works out to in centigrade. I could look it up, but I'm sure somebody else might. But the last 2 days, we've had snow and cold weather again. Just when everybody thought we were going to start spring, weather creeps its head back up again. Yes, that's right, Tim. Allegedly, it's March 14th. Depending on which deceptive agency you're listening to at the moment, or should I say the news and government. But anyways, the weather is really, really weird here. Woke up yesterday morning to 18 degrees, and I think we woke up this morning to 14 degrees. And again, I would have to search that up in the centigrade as far as the temperature, but it's quite cold. We had snow. 70 degrees, and a week later we have snow and cold temperatures. Very weird for this time of year anyways. Normally we would be starting to thaw out. I can't do that in my head, Tim. So I'll let you try that. Put that in a chat for me, please. But normally we would be starting to thaw out from winter. And we haven't really had much of a winter in my area for the past few years. The two coldest and most brutal months are January and February, and they have been very, very mild, above freezing temperatures for the past few years anyways. I would like to blame it on government agencies or government, but we just can't. There is an indication. A friend of mine did some research back in the 1930s around this area. We had the same type of weather pattern, quite mild, not cold temperatures, but warm temperatures in the winter. So I don't know. There is some indication that the technology and the patterns go back to the 1920s and 30s for the weather modification, but still, I'm not going to just claim that it's a conspiracy. I don't believe that there was any government 220,000 years ago when we had a lot more CO2 in the atmosphere. There are weather patterns that have gone throughout history. And there wasn't any SUVs and there wasn't any fossil fuel use way back hundreds of thousands or even millions of years ago. So we can't blame George Bush and the Republicans or any other group. That is probably a pretty good way to segue into two of my conversation points. I did want to mention this is going to be a very, very short live show because I'm not starting at my normal hour. The time changed over here in America, and it hasn't changed over there in Europe yet. As I mentioned earlier, it's just past 5 p.m. here in the Eastern and just past 9 in Ireland. Normally, my show would start at 4 p.m. Eastern, but we have changed to daylight savings time. And you over there in Europe haven't changed yet. I believe it's on the 26th, from what I recall, is when your change comes. then I will be back on my 5 hour behind the network, my usual time. So I had to start my show at 5 today instead of 4. This is going to be a very, very short live show. I'm going to have to put podcasts on after Kira's show, unless somebody wants to take the radio after Kira's show, because I will be running her pod. But what my two live subjects are going to be is partisan politics and identity politics. I'm going to bring the trusty NSA CIA-funded website, Wikipedia, up, and I search partisan political. Pretty much the same thing as partisan politics. In politics, a partisan is a committed member of a political party. In multi-party systems, the term is used for politicians who strongly support their party's policies and are reluctant to compromise with their political opponents. In the United States, the meaning of the term has changed dramatically over the last 60 years. Gee, I wonder why. I'm going to put this link right in the chat there if anybody wants to read and follow along. And there you go. Let me get back to that site there. In the United States, the meaning of the term has changed dramatically over the last 60 years. Before the American National Election Study, described in Angus Campbell, ETAL, and the American Voter began in 1952. An individual's partisan tendencies were typically determined from their voting behavior. Since then, partisan has come to refer to an individual with psychological identification with one or the other of the major parties. Now, to me, what they taught me in journalism school, what that means is someone, it doesn't matter which party is, whether it's the well, they just mentioned the two major parties, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. What that means to me is if you're a Democrat, you're supposed to step in line and vote the way the party votes, no matter what. Matter whether you like it or not, matter whether you even understand what the policy is or whether you believe in the policy, it doesn't matter. You are expected to toe the party line, as the phrase goes. And that's the way both parties want it, both the Democratic and the Republican Party, the two major parties here in America. I know they're called something different over there in Ireland and Scotland and the UK, but it's still pretty much the same over here as what it is over there, the Liberal Party or the Conservative Party. I have heard the parties, what their names are over there. I just don't have them on the tip of my tongue. If somebody would like to pop in the chat there what the two parties are, that would be fine. And then I could try to recall them. But towing the party line, excuse me a second here, towing the party line just means to me that you're a yes boss, a yes man, or a yes woman, whatever the case is. As I said, even if you don't believe in the policy or whatever the case is, you're just supposed to vote along the party lines. Just because. I don't know. Maybe just because you're a good little boy or a good little girl. I don't really know. I do call them little boys and girls because they really don't have a mind of their own. They're little robots, if you will. But, you know, I've never really understood why somebody can just be a yes man or a yes boss. That's eating me to a core, whatever the phrase is. I've just never really liked it, never really put up with it. A lot of the times, unions all over the world are expected to follow along, toe the party line. If you're in a union and there's some sort of a dispute, doesn't really matter how you feel, you're expected to follow along with the other workers or follow along with what the union wants. And you know, unions have their good qualities and they have their bad qualities. I think for the most part, when the union started to come to America, They had a lot of great ideas. They were pushing for better working conditions. They were pushing for less hours. There was a time in American industry where a company or a corporation could push a worker to almost to death on a daily basis. And I'm almost certain that there were many, many deaths because of people being overworked or horrible, horrible conditions. So I'm not going to sit here and slam unions, but I do know that there was a time in the American industrial history that unions were really kind of taken over and co-opted by thugs, by mafia types. Unions are kind of stereotyped with mafia types, especially in some eastern states here in America. And I don't know for a fact, and I'm not going to say I know for a fact, but you know, one could say that it's that way all over the world. The thing about unions and mafia types, mafia families, at least mafia types, they'll admit to being criminals if you get them without tape recorders or stuff like that. But government types won't even do that. They'll claim that they're actually good people, working for the good of the people. And well, I for a fact know that's a falsehood. I'm getting a little scratching in my throat here, so I'm going to put a song on quick and take a little break. Be right back, everyone, in just a few minutes. All right, and welcome back there. I did just put in the chat room there that I'm only going to be live for so long today. The time changed over here in America, and every single time it does in the spring and the fall, it messes up my time schedule with the network's time schedule. I am scheduled for 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, and as I said, normally that would be 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern, but for the next, well, today and next Tuesday, it's going to be 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. my lifetime. And Tuesday night is one of my pool nights, so I have to deal with it. Not much I can do. But anyways, I'm going to go back to the discussion point of partisan politics. Partisan politics, I think there's been quite a few people all over America's history, recorded time, and probably the world's government's recorded history, of people being accused of being a partisan politician. What that means is, as I mentioned, they just vote the way the party wants them to vote. They toe the party line, and they are criticized of being biased. I think on the other spectrum of the definition is nonpartisan politician. What they will say is, well, let's take John McCain, for example. He has always said that he's a nonpartisan politician. He's willing to, in quotations, reach across the party line to the other side and try to work with them. And that's what he's done. He's went against his party, the Republican Party, countless times in the past 35 some odd years, whatever he's been a senator. I know it's been well over 30, but maybe even well over 35. I don't recall now, but he has always been criticized as being a turncoat or Uncle Tom, whatever the criticism is. He's always worked. He's always looked at the other side, the other party's view, and went with it. And a lot of people don't seem to like that. Now, I haven't done any research on John McCain, but I do know that he is branded as a nonpartisan. What it says here is American politicians have generally been identified with a party. Many local elections in the U.S. for major, are nonpartisan. A candidate may have a party affiliation, but it is not listed on the ballot. Independents occasionally appear in major contests, but rarely win. At the presidential level, the best vote getters were Ross Perot in 1992 and 96, John B. Anderson in 1980, and 2016, Bernie Sanders, the independent senator from Vermont, entered the Democratic primaries and made a strong second-place finish. Well, the reports were that it wasn't really a second-place finish. The reports were that he was ahead of Clinton in the votes, and superdelegates stepped in and saved Hillary from a fiery crash, if you will, a defeat. The way it seemed, and by all indication, it was a imaginary vote anyways, or whatever, a imaginary election, because as for the most part, a lot of us know that none of them are elected, but they are selected. But Bernie Sanders was apparently in the lead, and then he just mysteriously dropped out after the superdelegates give all of their votes to Hillary. I'm not going to pull any punches there. I've been saying publicly that I don't vote anymore, not since 2008. That was the last time, and I really had to be pushed in 2008 to vote, because I wasn't going to. But that was the last time I voted. I don't see any difference between the two parties. They just changed the puppet, and the puppet master is still in control, as far as I'm concerned. But that can be debated, and a lot of people still love their servitude. They still think that their vote counts. I think Joseph Stalin is attributed to a quote that goes something to the effect of, if you want to control a nation, give them a vote and tell them they're free. And I think that that's going to work all over the world anyways. I also think that's one of the main reasons why they're trying to push for in air quotations, democracy in some of these Middle Eastern countries. For the most part, they don't have Rothschild Bank control in some of them countries, and they don't have control of the people. They don't have control of they don't really have a lot of technology. They're just starting to get technology in some of those countries over there, but a lot of people are trying to resist that, and I still think that they're trying to put some of these countries over there on the grid, get them hooked up to the matrix, if you want to look at it that way. Get them into the 21st century, get them into the technology, get them into the grid, because, well, currently, you know, there are vast parts of the world that are still unexplored and not in the grid. And they don't really like that. They do have the technology. They have the satellites and the infrared technology and all of the fancy little bells and whistles. But they want a complete connection. They would like to see every man, woman, and child with one of their tracking devices, aka cell phones or laptops or tablets, computers, whatever. I think that would be their ultimate goal. Whether the current 7.4 billion, or who knows if they tried to call the masses down to 2 billion or whatever the number happens to be, I don't believe they have total control. They have a lot of control, but they want total control. They don't want anybody eking outside their system. They really don't want anyone challenging their system, because if we do challenge our system, if we do look outside the box, we might just find out that there's something better than what they're offering. That's my thoughts anyways. And I also wanted to make a comment about the calling of the masses. That's another conspiracy out there too. I don't really know if it's true or not, but there are physical monoliths down in Georgia called the Georgia Guidestones. I think they have text written in, I don't know how many languages, like at least 7, I think. but all of the writings say the same thing. They want to call the population down from the current 7.5 billion to a manageable 2 billion, or maybe even 500 million. I don't know. Never really looked into that conspiracy, but I do know those things are physical and they exist. And there are some conspiracies that go even further than that, that the elite that are in control, they only want maybe about 500 million. No, wait a minute. I think I just said that. 500,000 people as their serfs, as their slaves, to cook them their food and drive them around in their big fancy cars and motorhomes, take care of them in their big fancy homes. Whether that conspiracy is true or not, that's yet to be seen. I had a guest on about 3.5 years ago. His name was Jason Berman. Maybe some might know that name. And I'll have to find that podcast one night and play that again. That was a good show. I asked him a question. I asked him if he thought it would come to the Terminator-type scenario where the machines were fighting against the humans. And he said, I don't know. God, I hope not. I said, I sure wouldn't want to be John Connor, would you? He asked me, and I thought about it, and I said, you know, if it came down to it, I could be a John Connor type of revolutionary leader or something like that. Because I just can't see myself sitting back on the sideline and doing nothing if a government, our government, was just to bring out machines or brainwashed people and just start cutting people down with the Gatling guns or the bombs or whatever the case was. I just couldn't see myself running and hiding and setting off on the side. No, it hasn't been, Laurie. Have you ever heard that? And I'll wait for your response there. But have you heard that podcast? But no, I just couldn't see myself doing anything other than what I'm doing now behind the microphone, or if it comes to it, some sort of a revolt leader. I think I'm going to look for another quick song and gather some more thoughts and come back and do some more. So I'll be right back in a few minutes, everyone. Okay, and welcome back after the break there. I've only got about maybe 15 more minutes. I'm going to do live, and I will actually put that podcast on that I was referring to, the Jason Berman's interview, as soon as I convert it over to MP3. But I wanted to get into the other topic that I was going to talk about, and that is identity politics. I'm going to just do a quick search on the internet on identity politics. And I'll just bring up the NSA and the CIA-funded Wikipedia for identity politics. What it says here is not to be confused with identitarian movement, but don't really want to get into that, but maybe I will, maybe I won't. Identitarian movement. Identitarian movement is a pan-European social political movement that started in France in 2002 as far-right youth movement deriving from the French Nouvelle Droite generation, identitaire. Initially, the youth wing of the anti-immigrant, far-right bloc identitaire. It has taken on its own identity and largely classified as a separate entity altogether, with the intent on spreading across Europe. The identitarian movement advocates rights for members of specific European ethnocultural groups. And now back to identity politics. Identity politics are also called identitarian politics. Huh, okay. Which is different from identitarian movement. Identity politics, or identitarian politics, refers to political positions based on the interests and perspectives of the social groups from which people identify. Identity politics includes the ways in which people's politics may be changed by aspects of their identity through loosely correlated social organisms. Examples include social organizations based on age, social class, culture, dialect, disability, education, ethnicity, language, nationality, gender, identity, generational, occupation, profession, race, religion, sexual orientation, settlement, urban and rural habitation, and veteran status. Not all members of any given group are involved in identity politics. The term identity politics came, I'm going to copy this link here quick and put that in the chat, and then I'll go back. And where was I? Identity politics. The term identity politics came into during the latter part of the 20th century, during the civil rights era. During this time period, identity politics was used by a minority group to form a coalition with members of the majority. And I think what that is referring to is the civil rights movement was more or less co-opted by the Democratic Party. Because I think earlier in the history, the Democratic Party pretty much led the fight against the civil rights movement. I believe a lot of the Democratic leaders of the 20th century, the early 1900s into the teens and 20s and 30s and 40s, maybe even part of the 50s, the Democratic Party were pretty much leading the bias movement against letting the blacks have anything, any voting rights, any social rights. The Democratic Party were trying to block. A lot of the leaders were in the racial bias groups, the KKK and some of the other groups. But of course, some of the Republican leaders were, well, they were called Nazis because they were helping fund the Nazi Party of Germany. What a lot of people don't really realize is you have to follow the money when you're looking into political parties and political systems. Whoever is throwing the money at an issue, whether it's the Republicans funding the Nazis and the Democrats funding the communists, they are just fighting for control. They're fighting for their ideologies. A lot of us know that George Bush's grandfather was arrested for treason for helping fund Hitler, I think, in the bank he ran in New York. And a lot of people just don't know that. But it was all covered up and it was all hushed up. People look today at George Soros when he was a 14-year-old boy. A lot of people just don't know that he helped the Nazis gather up Jews in his country. And he says he was proud of it. He wouldn't do anything different if he had the chance to. And now he throws a lot of money at the communist left here in America, the Democratic Party, as does the Nazi Party here in America. They have their funders too, and they're all funded by the elite European Rothschild held banks in Europe. That's not really a secret anymore. These things have been coming out for a long, long time. But I do want to get back to identity politics. Identity politics is basically what they taught me in journalism school. As I mentioned earlier, some of these examples: social class, culture, dialect, disability, education, ethnicity, language, nationality, gender identity, generational, occupational, profession, race, religion, sexual orientation, settlement, urban and rural habitation. Whatever your race is, the government and the media want you to be stereotyped into what they want to classify you as. If you're a young black man, they want you to vote Democratic. They want you to be all for Black Lives Matter. They want you to be against the so-called conservatives, against the Republican Party. They want you to vote for the Democratic Party. They want you to be stereotypical. It's basically what it is. Sexual orientations, the LGBT groups, the pedophile groups, the NAMBLA, North American Man Boy Love Association. They want you to be supportive of the Democratic parties, the abortion clinics, the people that support abortion. They want you to also be against anything that the Republican Party stands for. They want you to be for and toe the party line for the Democratic Party. And all of these different classifications, they all have their stereotyping. Yeah, that's just an exclamation point on the end of that. Doesn't really need to be expanded on. Social classes, they're all the same way, depending on your race or your background. They all want you to be stereotyped. They don't want you to look outside the box. They don't want the black man talking to the white man. Not politically, anyways. Not in a way to work things out. That's why so many times when, well, let's just go ahead and say it. I've only got about five more minutes here, and then I need to leave. But identity politics, they don't want anyone looking outside their little paradigm. They don't want people talking to each other and trying to work problems out. Because as I mentioned earlier, if we start talking to each other and we start working our problems out, these people that are in control are rendered irrelevant within 6 months. And they would probably start running for the hills or their bunkers. The bunkers that don't exist, of course. The ones they've been working on for 40, 50, 60 years. The ones that they won't admit to. But I think that's one of the big keys. The big keys to changing people, changing societies, is to talk to each other. Talking to each other, people can work things out. I know they can. I know a lot of people that don't really suffer from identity politics because there's a lot of people that don't believe in the political system. I, for one, don't. Not anymore. Oh, there was a time that I did have the problem of identity politics and partisan politics, but not anymore. I probably might be able to expand a little bit on identity politics, but don't really have a lot of time left. Kind of rambled on with the other subject there and other things, but I do have to end this show early, although I do have another hour and 5 minutes, but I'm going to try to get that interview I was talking about. Oh, that's not it. I got to get it here. Anyways, I want to thank everyone for coming out. This is a short show, and next week's show will be short because of the time change and the EU, London, and the rest of Ireland, Scotland, and the UK will be changing in, well, on the 26th. So my shows are going to be pinched off until the 26th. So thanks, everyone, for coming out. And get another song here, just a short one to end maybe, and say thanks to everyone. Until next week.